However, you have not been working very seriously. You may have had time to retire, but if you have been working in your constituency, you may be the same as the time when you left here. But welcome, even for those that happen to be at the horses as well as the Free State. I hope that you enjoyed the trip. With all its pitfalls and whatever. But it has been a nice and a welcome exercise that we have done. And then we end up knowing each other, those that were on that trip, knowing each other better. And it's just hard luck for those that did not be, that were not part. They still don't know some of us that much. And I think it was an eye-opener, which we will await the report when it has been finalized, and we make some engagement, and then others will benefit from that report, on the engagement of finalizing the report. Honorable members, today we are having an engagement with the Department of Labor on some issues that many of you have raised before I was born in this committee. And probably many of you know all the challenges that the department is supposed to be responding to. And we'll have an opportunity of listening to the department and making some further engagement, advising or being informed on certain things that we may not be able to go past or to leave them lying. The other issue is we'll deal with some two sets of minutes, and then you'll realize that the minutes that you had on your system before then are a little bit different from the minutes that are in front of you now in the form of hard copy, because we just tried to request that there should be some a little bit addition of some information on the minutes, so that the minutes are not too much silent. And although that we cannot put everything else on them, but at least there is some sort of an improvement. The let me check now in the apologies, Secretary. Do you have any apologies for today's meeting?
Yes, Chair, and good morning, Chair. Good morning, the members and the department. I have two apologies, Chair. One was from Mr. Chowama, and one that I just received now from Ms. Mutambi, which was a technicality. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, of course, is that the technicalities of Mutambi, I think, would not necessarily be the reason. I'm sure it has been communicated, whether informally, that the meeting is here. 2 to 6, I think that message has been communicated to her, and we hope that she will find us. I'm sure it's Portia. Where is Portia? If she can just make contact to her, maybe she may not be knowing exactly where 2 to 6 is now, but I think it has been communicated that the meeting is at 2 to 6, unofficially, of course. So if you can just make contact and then establish where she is now. Again? Yes.
Sorry, Chair, I forgot one more apology of Mamu Tongwane, which she tried to speak this morning. So thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thanks. And then we're having a delegation from the department. I think we've got the DGs here. Then we have got commissioner from the compensation fund. Uguya Mafata is here, UIF, then we have got Sebuba Maruti, then we have got the DDG, Umi Ilwa is here, and then and Advocate Mutleki. I hope that I'm pronouncing it correctly. Yeah, some of these names I've seen them for the first time too. And I've not done phonetics properly, so sometimes I may pronounce them differently. And you'll pardon me if I've done so. So that is, I think, the delegation that we have from the department. Honorable members, and then anybody that thinks the agenda is adequate for today, as prepared and processed, I'm sorry.
Good morning, Chair and members, delegation of the department. I move for adoption of the agenda.
Anybody that agrees with Honorable Pascal, with Honorable Joe?
Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much. And then, thanks, Honorable members. I think in passing, you'll remember that in our last meeting, probably will get on the minutes that we requested an improvement on the third quarter report. And then I think some work has been done on it, and then I said it must be sent to yourself. Then you should read, that report, and then in our next meeting then we'll have to finalize that report. If you can tell me to pay attention to it. As from the day that it will appear on your system. Thanks. On that note, honorable members, can we then ask the department then to take us through the briefing? If they are ready, if they are not ready, then we can take a decision what we do. That's it.
Good morning, Chairperson, and the honorable members. Chairperson, we are ready. The presentation is being Chairperson and the honorable members, during the period commencing from 2015 to date, the committee secretariat forwarded to our office a number of complaints received from members of the public, and the committee secretariat requested our office to oversee the resolution of these complaints to the complainants directly. And the complaints referred to spread across the various programs of the department and other government institutions. When we receive these complaints, our office is obliged or mandated to forward them to the relevant programs for government institutions for resolutions. That has happened. Through the passage of time, our office ensures that the complainants are contacted and their issues are resolved. As our office ensured speedy resolution of these complaints, we saw a steady rise in the number of complaints being referred to our office, as the committee chairperson and the committee members will see in the presentation itself. It is important for the committee to understand that some of the initial responses of the department which led to the complaints are based on the legal framework and the limitations that is contained in the legal framework in which the department operates. And some of these legal limitations resulted in the members of the public coming back to the committee to complain because they were dissatisfied with the responses and how the department has dealt with the issues. So this presentation, Chairperson and honorable members, is to give you a detailed account of how we have dealt with these complaints referred to us, stemming from beginning of 2014-15 to date. What we have done, Chairperson, is to just start with a summary of the cases referred to the department. So in 2015, we received two, and in 2016, we received 19, 2017, 12, 2018, 21. So in total, what we're going to be talking about are 54 cases that have been referred to the department. And we have then broken them down in terms of the program which is responsible for those cases.
Inspection and Enforcement Services, their share was 12, Labor Market Policy 4, CCMA 8 cases to deal with, Compensation Fund 15, UIF 3, and others 12, and the other refers to those cases that were referred to other institutions outside the Department of Labor. And therefore, in total, it's 54. The next slide is just the graphic illustration of the cases. We have then further broken down the cases in terms of the provinces, with the Western Cape receiving the lion's share of those complaints. The next slide is the summary of complaints received by the department per province, and here we're indicating these cases that were referred, and we're using the legend green, blue, and red. So green, it means that those cases have been resolved. Blue means that they were transferred to other institutions. Red means that they're still outstanding. So as it stands, Chairperson, we resolved 36 and 12 were referred to other institutions. 6 are still outstanding. So out of that 6, 1 relates to inspection and enforcement services, and 5 is a compensation fund matter. The next slide is the summary of the complaints received by the department per province. This is just in the same thing, but in percentage, Chairperson. The next slide is a comprehensive list of these complaints that we received. One is a complaint from Deep Money, which was on unlabored health practice. So this matter was referred to the Department of Health for further resolution. And I must indicate to the Chairperson and the Honorable Members that we've checked with other government departments in terms of how far they with the resolution of these cases. Almost all of them, they very, very far from resolving the cases. But we continue to monitor them and ask for feedback. The second one is Imatole, abuse of power by CCMA commissioners. This matter was dealt with. The client was provided a requested report. The client requested a specific report which was provided to the complainant. And the second one is from K. Roth, incorrect annual assessment, which was a matter that was dealt with by the compensation fund. It was explained to the complainant how the fund arrived at its assessment. The next one is the complaint from N. Saw, disputing a medical report, and again this was the complaint was referred for medical examination by the fund, so the matter has been dealt with. The next one is from Mr. M. Mangai, long outstanding claim. The claim was attended to and complainant paid within the legal framework, so the matter was resolved. And the next one is from an anonymous, the misuse of departmental documents. It was from KwaZulu-Natal, and the matter was investigated, and it was found not to be substantiated. The next one was the Buwe, request for legal assistance to take a case of unfair labor practice on review.
Sorry, DJ. Where you said that the matter was found not to be substantiated, what does that actually mean?
It means that there was an investigation. There was an allegation of misuse of departmental documents. The matter was investigated. It was found not to be substantiated, which means that the allegation was not yes. Request for legal assistance, this matter was attended, the complainant was referred to legal aid. There was one from M. Macharo, which is number 8, the outsourcing of cleaning services in government buildings in Northwest. The complainant was advised accordingly and referred to the Department of Public Works. The another one by ENSO, which is number 9, disputed compensation fund claim. The client refused to accept the outcome of the medical assessment. This was dealt with, however, the client refused to accept the outcome of the medical assessment. And this is the same matter that we refer to it in the complaint number 4, where we said the complainant was referred for medical examination by the fund. So after the outcome of the medical assessment, the complainant refused to accept the outcome of the medical assessment. So as far as we're concerned, the matter has been finalized, but we want to register the point that the complainant is not satisfied with the outcome. The next one is El Buchobana from the Western Cape Provincial Nehau, the reasonable accommodation issue. The matter was investigated by inspectors, and the employer was then ordered to correct the anomaly, which the employer did. The next one is E. Conrad from the Western Cape Provincial Administration, who is a member of SATAU. PRASA dismissed workers due to participation in strike. The complainant was advised accordingly and referred to the CCMA. Dissatisfied with compensation on fund payment, which is number 12, complainant is TG Tabe. The payment was made to TG Tabe accordingly. The working conditions, which was an issue raised by El Skondo, the inspection was conducted and non-compliance was not detected, and also the department provided them with advocacy session, so and the matter was addressed. The next one is a matter raised by Vihira, dissatisfied with the Chekwini Municipality staff service conditions. The complainant was advised accordingly and referred to a bargaining council because they fall under a bargaining council. The next one is a complaint from M.F. Mzalose on behalf of S.M. Kanye, inquiring about Selina Mpiteleng's outstanding CF claim, and the payment was made and the claim was finalized. Inquiring about the inclusion of the domestic workers in the COIT Act, which is the issue raised by M. Raki Biane, the complainant was advised that the amendment process for the COIT is still continuing, and the domestic workers, there's provision in the amendments to include domestic workers. The next one is complainant Shozi, raising the issue inquiring about UIF claim. The UIF claim was processed and paid accordingly. L.A. Foster Masimanyane Women's Center raised the issue relating to discrimination of women staff at East London Airport. The complainant was advised accordingly and referred to the CCMA for further advice. We're told that the matter has since been dealt with. COSATU General Memorandum to Parliament. COSATU was mainly raising issues relating to the national minimum wage, which the committee has dealt with and which has since been approved. The bill has since been approved by the committee. So this matter was dealt with. Inquiring about dismissals after oversight in Mpumalanga, which was the complaint, which was the issue raised by chairperson of the portfolio committee. Presentation were made to committee regarding the status of the matter, which was the issue raised in 2016, and it was dealt with by the CCMA. Complaining about employer social media, V. Musetla, the matter was also dealt with. The complainant was advised accordingly regarding the procedure to be followed to challenge the policy. Complaining about discrimination or unfair dismissal, The complainant was advised accordingly and referred to the CCMA for further advice. That was complainant G. Esop, and were advised that the matter has since been dealt with. Requesting a labor inspector to visit their workplace, seeing the farm workers, that was done. A labor inspector was deployed, and workers provided with all the information that they required. The next one is a complainant, Red ACBIA, inquiring about UIF claim. The claim was processed and paid to Red ACBIA. Then next one is number 24, complainant G. Bongolo, complaining about underpayment and conditions of work. The complainant was advised accordingly and referred to the bargaining council for further advice. The motor industry bargaining council. This complainant works for a filling station in Century City. They fall under that bargaining council. This is, we're also following up on this. We have not been receiving any feedback from this bargaining council. So we'll continue to follow up on this one. Complained about this. The next one is M. Zalo, was complaining about, on behalf of his wife, an other workplace incident happened at Fortescue Hospital in the early 80s, and the compensation funds refused to accept the claim. This is one of those cases that the complainant is still not happy with the manner in which we have ruled with regards to this. The fund assessed the claim and the claim was rejected. Meetings were held with the complainant to explain the objection process, however, remains dissatisfied with the fund's decision. So I guess, Chairperson and honorable members, M. Zalo will continue to come to the committee to also express his dissatisfaction with this matter. But like I said earlier on, we are limited by the law and only apply that. Complaining about the treatment received during police training, complainant W.C. Kiso. The complainant was advised that the matter does not fall in the legal mandate of the Department of Labor and therefore referred to SAPS to deal with the matter. Complaining about being refused legal aid and the CCMA commissioner, the matter was referred to CCMA to engage the complainant. However, the complainant remains dissatisfied. And this is a matter that again is to the committee, I suppose, because the complainant is still not happy with how the matter was resolved. The next one is B. Muchejo, complaining about the treatment received from the ANC Provincial Chief Whip Northwest Legislature. The matter was investigated and the allegation could not be proved. Unfortunately, the complainant's dismissal is not reviewable because he accepted the employer's offer voluntarily. So it's one of those cases where there's an offer that is put on the table, the employee accepts the offer, and later on decides that he may have been outdone, but the offer was accepted. So the CCMA could not review the complaining about this dismissal due to racism, that's T. Sagako, complainant number 29. The matter was investigated. It was established that the matter was settled through conciliation. The complainant was duly represented by the trade union. And again, it's one of those matters that the matter is resolved and people get advice at the later stage that you should not have accepted this. And the matter has already been resolved. It was resolved through conciliation. Complaining about various issues affecting farm workers in the region, that Jay Van Dijk, on behalf of Association of Flex Security South Africa, NOP, the Western Cape Inspectorate held meetings with Mr. Jan Van Dijk, and inspections were conducted on a number of assertions to address the concerns. The complainant remains dissatisfied and wants the minister to visit the region, and we have informed the minister that there was a demand for her to visit the station. But as far as we're concerned, we have dealt with the matter. It's just that, like I said earlier, when she was in the complainant remains dissatisfied, and maybe the near visit of the minister may put the matter to rest. complaint number 31 from the chairperson, requesting a report on 72 abused migrant workers rescued in KZN. That was done, and inspections conducted, and chairperson provided with a report. It's a case that that took place in 2017. N.A. Morris, dissatisfied with his compensation fund payout. It was explained to the complainant that the payout is made based on the medical report, but remains dissatisfied. It's amazing, Chair, that people don't want to follow the letter of the law. There's a lay down process as to how, when they are not satisfied, how they can, you know, communicate their dissatisfaction through. And people that don't want to follow that process, they then come to the committee, which we also appreciate. But we would appreciate that if people are not happy, they must follow the process through, and then come to the committee if they are not happy with that process. But the committee is also responsible for the development of these laws. And if there's anything in the law that seems not to be working well, if the committee's and if the committee's view that this matter has to be changed, the committee can propose it. Dissatisfied with this compensation fund payout, that's N.A. Morris. It was explained to the complainant that the payout is made based on the medical report, but remained dissatisfied. M. Whitlow, IOD benefits. The fund requested outstanding information and documentation, and up until today, we have not received anything from Whitlow. The second one is Magritte Circles. The final medical report is still outstanding, so we are waiting for the final medical report before we close this conference. Verhotin, the fund has requested objection documents from the client, because the client indicated that the fund indicated that they're not happy with the decision of the fund, and there's a laid down process. If you object, you need to follow that process, and we're still awaiting the objection. Complainant Felyun, compensation benefits. Final reporting that state disability is decreased in outstanding. Again, we were waiting for the final report. J. Yostef, objecting the compensation on PG decision. The fund has requested objection documents from the client, and we're still waiting. Nelly Malebo worked as a private teacher, never got pension. We referred this to the Department of Education and the government employee pension fund. We're also one of those cases that we are following up. IOD benefits by Kara van der Westhuizen. IOD benefits of 23,731. On an open voucher was authorized and paid to the client. So this matter was settled. Patrick Salmon works at Ampart. He got his fingers cut while fixing an operating machine at this company. OHS inspection conducted and found employer non-compliant. Contravention notice was served. Client was paid his benefit of a permanent disablement. And yes, this matter was. Since 2009, has he is working on a contract of 6 months for Speaker's Office of the Kenneth Kaunda District. That's for Sumzi Mbene, a case of Kabalga Bargaining Council, which they lost during the arbitration hearing held on the 27th of April 2015. So this letter was dealt with in 2015. And Sumzi Mbene lost the case when it went to arbitration. And once the matter has been arbitrated, we can't touch it. That's the law. So Caroline Patent, she has been working at Pick and Pay for 15 years, and she's been on a contract. After inspection last year, she got employed as a permanent employee. So the matter has been resolved. Ziwonke Mzizi, he worked at Pick and Pay for 15 years. He has since been on contract. He resigned and outstanding money that's due to him was paid. So the matter has been settled. Worked at Sunshine Special School contracts, and school contracts were terminated without any reason. That's Ghani Mtakuva. He was paid his entire retrenchment package after the system intervened. The next one is an IOD by Mr. Marx from Sputnik. The IOD benefits authorized and paid to the client. So the matter has been settled. Uhlaza Group Pty Ltd. Challenges to obtain a letter of good standing from compensation fund, and the letter of good standing was issued. The late husband worked at Umlumati Technical College. She passed away in 2010 and she has not received her husband's pension. That's Mariam Thongo. The matter was referred to the Department of Education. Works as a supervisor in the X-ray department of Thongo Hospital. The complainant is requesting the intervention of the Department of Labor or Health to review the salaries of these workers as they each do two jobs. That's Lucy Kerr. Matter referred the Department of Health for resolution is the matter for outside the jurisdiction of the department. Rustenburg Municipality gives contracts to companies residing outside of the municipality and province despite local companies being able to do the work. This is a procurement matter and was referred to the municipality for resolution as a matter for outside the jurisdiction of the department. Boya Jengela is registered as a military veteran but has never got his special pension. So the matter was referred to SANDF as a matter falls outside the jurisdiction of the department. Tandiswa Solani and Zisiwe Huta. They work as cleaners at the Motherwell Municipality. Salaries differ from month to month. Employees employed by the municipality, they are covered by the bargaining council. So the matter has been referred to SALGA. Works for Scribonte, there are discrepancies in salaries. Employees feel they are not paid what is due to them. Joseph Zondani, the client was dismissed in 2016. The CCMA award was in favor of the employer. The employees are covered by a collective agreement between NUMSA and Scribonte. And like I said earlier on, once the matter has been adjudicated by a CCMA commissioner, we cannot entertain the matter. It's up to the companions to take the decision of the CCMA for review to the labor court. The last one is Nelly Malebo, worked as a private teacher, never got pension. And we referred the matter to the Department of Education and the Government Employee Fund.
That's not repeated.
No. This is the Nelly Malebo.
Number 38.
So, as I indicated earlier on, Chairperson, that we from our side resolved 89% of the cases that were referred to us. We have those that complain and still remain dissatisfied, and there's nothing that we can do at this stage, as some of them have not followed the laid down processes. And also, as indicated, those six that are still outstanding, they're outstanding because we have not received documents that were requested from the complainant. So that's where the cases are. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. Just before I ask honorable members to speak to you, maybe if you could just share some light again so that we are able to deal with this matter. Where you are awaiting health reports, and then from whom? Because number 36, you talk about final reporting that says disability is in degree, still outstanding. And where you say that, from whom are you awaiting? Is it from other institutions or from the complainant itself? And then who is making follow-ups to ensure that the matter gets finalized? Because surely that's just to say that, no, please give us this particular document, and then we keep quiet. And then it's a half a step of solving the matter. And then in the department, at least, we are funding you to have a phone. Somebody to be able to follow up on a matter that is still outstanding and pending. And check, you know, is how far is this person bringing that information that is required to finalize the matter. And then, and also there is the matter that talks to a private teacher. What does private teacher mean? We know. And the person called private teacher, what is that person entitled to? Is it a contract teacher or a temporary teacher? Because we know about temporary teachers. But a private teacher, I really don't know what that means. And then do you understand what the private teacher means, and is it a matter that has some sort of entitlement or what? that's the issue that I just wanted you to just share light so that the honorable members then can speak to these issues. You are on the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with the private teacher. Private teachers are appointed by governing bodies, not by the Department of Education. So private schools, they mostly appoint, or their teachers are appointed by the governing bodies. So these are the teachers that we are referring to, and that's why we call them private teachers. The outstanding documentation when it comes to other departments, we have written when we refer the matter, we write to the DG of the department and refer the matter to that department, so that it is the DG's responsibility to follow up on them. I'll ask the commissioner to respond to the outstanding documentation and as far as the compensation for this company.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. The medical reports are provided by the treating medical service provider, the doctor or whatever health professional that is assisting the injured worker. And they submit that to the employer. So the employer, because the employer is the one who submits the claim, would then receive it through the employer. It may be that the report is not available at the time because the client is undergoing treatment, so there is no final medical report that we use to eventually decide on the level of disability, and then that informs the amount of payouts that is going to be made to the client. But in instances where the treatment has already been concluded, and we just still have outstanding final medical reports. We do follow up with the employer as well as with the treating doctor to make sure that we get the document.
Okay, Namzida. Namzida. And then honorable members. Right. You can start on honorable Van Scalvey.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to welcome the report that was presented to us by the department, and especially commend the department on the positive outcome of some complaints that we received or they received. But Chair, the DG mentioned that in terms of referrals of some complaints to other departments, they follow that they are dealt with rather slowly, very slowly. So my question would be, do you advise them or offer support in trying to resolve those complaints? And do you just refer it, or do you follow it up during certain intervals, or are you just leaving it like that? And in the cases where you find that there's slow progress on the resolve of those cases, are you dealing with it in terms of reporting it to senior officials or even the political heads, in trying to assist the complainants for their complaints to be resolved? Then the DG also mentioned in terms of the number of complaints that were received increased through the years, and especially when you look at 2018, it's the highest number. But specifically zooming into provinces like your Western Cape, that registered a higher number. Did you perhaps did an investigation on why this phenomenon happened, or can you give us a better insight on in terms of that one? Then, in terms of number 30, you've mentioned that the they've requested that the minister should visit them. Is the minister aware of this request, or how are you dealing with that issue? You're just shelving it. Then, Chairperson, my last one is complaint number 54. It's not written there, seeing that the current 54 is deleted because of the duplication. So I just want to read it out to the department, complaint number 54. It is, we don't have a reference number, but it's a complaint by S.R. van Skalkwyk, and the complaint is regarding the, I don't think the department received it, so I'm just reading it out to you. From my mind, I'm reading it out to you, if you catch my drift. The complaint is regarding the COIDA amendment.
Are you registering a complaint?
Chair, can you protect me, please? I'm reading the invisible complaint. It's regarding the COIDA amendments, Chair. I'm just bringing it to the attention of the Chairperson and reminding the honorable members that in 2016, the department reported to the committee that they going to submit the amendments will be finalized in terms of the COIDA amendments not later than August 2016. And As I recall, there was a deadline of the 31st of May 2018 for that amendments to reach cabinet. And I just need some clarity in terms of that, because we are nearing our the end of our term, Chairperson. And I'm just concerned that if we leave things like that, then we're really going to fail in our task to finalize all our issues before the end of our term. So if the department can just respond to number 54, please. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Where's my mic? Good. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the report. it's eye-opener to me. Chair, my question is based on the notion from the community. We are working in a different communities, right inside and in our constituencies. And to my constituents, 50% of my work based on the labor issues. Dismissal of the people by the bosses, especially on farms, in the industries. And there's this notion that the employers bribe the CCMA people, and it's rife. And one has sometimes have to believe on it, because if we hear what had happened, RAPs, they are not satisfied with the processes, during the CCMA processes when they are dealing with the cases. And how can really the department assist, especially us from the constituencies, which are very farm-based constituencies, how can we really assist us because of this issue of the CCMA, make our people to understand and believe to the CCMA people. It's so important. Lastly, Chair, as a recommendation of the request, if the department can also sometimes assist us in terms of our different provinces and constituencies, so that one must try as a member of this committee. Remember, at some stage, I'm a member of this committee. When I call the constituency meeting, there's nothing that I can talk on to say about the labor issues. Is where I got these issues that, no, we'll take the matter to CMA. CMA people have agreed with the bosses, and we are left with nothing. And we deal with that type of frustrations. And it's so bad, because really, our area is surrounded by the farms, and people have been removed from their farms. That's put into the township without anything. And when you go to that case and make the follow-up, you find the CCMA was involved, and the matter never satisfied the person. So I'm saying, as a recommendation, how can we, the department, sometimes try to assist us in different provinces and constituencies, so that one must make follow-up on some of the things happen in my own province. Because I believe in the first thing, there's a lot of cases that until today they are not yet finished. And I've asked my administrator to deal with those cases and make a list of those that are still outstanding. So that, what must I do with those cases? Where can I give it to and the likes? I'm concerned about these things. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chairman.
I welcome the report from the DG and the team, and I'm also to say thank you for addressing my issue when I called that one member had an issue the department at Free State, Free Dish, I think. And the matter, according to the report that I got, the member is happy and with the outcome from the department, and well done on that part. the presentation, it spoke about cases, and I wanted to check, to check when you close the cases, if the same matter or the same complaint come to be reported again, you is it regarded as a new complaint on the same matter, or is a follow up on the same? I hope you understand. Same complaint opened again. Do you register it as a new complainant, or is a follow up on the same reference number that was dealt with? And with the processes when the case has been closed, with the whatever outcome, whether satisfied or not satisfied, or how do you engage the client, the complainant and the respondent on the matter, on the outcome, and if they are dissatisfied, do you also continue engaging them, or it is regarded as again it will be a new matter to be brought on to other case? And for how long, the last page on that presentation where you speak about outstanding documentation, the 11%. If, let's take this case has been registered 2015, meaning suppose the doctor's office has burned down, then there's no supporting documents for the case. How do we close the case? Maybe you use case number based on the case number of that bend, or if I'm just giving an example, if there's no information that will support the case for you to finalize, because I know medical sometimes documents are not there, it is going to reflect bad to the department as you are failing to resolve the matter, or you are failing to finalize the complaint. How do you deal with that 11%? So the final one, you are aware that you are going for an election, I think, as the department. And do we have, this one I think is like a complaint number 54, unregistered recommendation of what, I don't know how to call it, or I'm lobbying, I'm not sure.
Is it 55?
It's 55.1, I think. So I need to check if are we in a position to do outreach program in informing the public through the constituencies of members of parliament to say, here are services as members that of portfolio committee, because some of the cases are registered through the portfolio committee. So based on that, how do we address the issue as members of committees through speaking to our own constituencies in the form of an awareness program? Is it that budgeted for, or we just write letters and say, DG, you are expected that PCO 254, Anjin Port, Loma, Anjin Pumalanga, I don't know. I think I'm done, Chair. Thank you so much for the presentation.
Thank you very much, Madam Jomo.
Yeah, it's a must talk.
Proceed.
Thank you. I apologize for being a bit late. Sorry about that. DG, I've been going through these various complaints that you received. First and foremost, it looks like the majority of them are of a legal type nature. In other words, people could have actually phoned the call center at the CCMA and had it sorted out, or wherever. So I'm not sure why it found its way onto your desk, but I don't think it's entirely fair. And obviously, I thank you for actually sorting them out, but it shouldn't be under your ambit at all. You should be looking at overview. And then the rest of the complaints appear to be workman's compensation and UIF, And again, they have their own complaint centers, and you're quite right when you made the point that they must work it from within the system, otherwise it never really... And the minute it gets escalated into your office, then it's got to be worked all the way down again. You have to then refer it back. It becomes incredibly tedious, and maybe you can comment on that, because I'm not sure how the department can work with that. The other thing is, and obviously we all know this, when people don't get what they expect to get, in other words, they've injured a leg and they don't get 20 million rand, they're never going to be satisfied. Doesn't matter what you do. And maybe you want to comment on that, because I'm actually surprised there's so few. And it's the same as what happens at the CCMA, when you have two parties eventually go to an arbitration. One is going to be unhappy, that's for sure. Invariably, both are unhappy. That's normally what happens. And in fact, with settlements, a good settlement means that you've got two people walking out of the room, both of them unhappy. That's a good settlement. And I'm very surprised that we've only got one tiny document here from you, because I can imagine that if you called out to the public and said, right, who's got complaints, we'd get a million, if not more. So you've got to be very careful on that, and I'm not sure if that's what the department's supposed to be doing through your office, where you're supposed to be running the department or not. Some of these complaints are absolutely frivolous, and I understand the public saying that that's a big issue for me, but it should be immediately escalated. There should be some sort of doorstop at your desk. So thank you for listening to me.
Thank you very much,
Honorable America. Good morning, Chair. Thank you. Chair, I'd like to support the sentiment expressed by my colleague, Honorable Babram. I myself am surprised that over a 3-year period there are so few complaints. And I have the view that although these complaints for the complainant seems to be serious, certainly it ought to have been dealt with on a different level. Just two remarks, one being the referral of the private teachers' outstanding pension. Since it's a governing body appointment, they're the ones who are also responsible for conditions of employment, and referral ought to have been done to them instead of to the department. And secondly, the question, Chair, is that I know there are various factors that may influence this answer, but on average, how long would it take to resolve a particular complaint? And I know some will be very quick and others with outstanding documents that need to be submitted will take a little longer, and I cannot always predict how quick that will be resolved, but just as a ballpark sort of a response, as on average how long, months, 3 months, week. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Let us welcome the report back from the department. There are some few issues I want to talk to Chairperson. Number one being, we're talking of 54 cases or complaints received, and only 36 resolved. Because referred to me seems as resolved, because we are not getting a report on after being referred, what happened to them? What have you done? How far is the institution that you referred to with the cases? So if nothing is reported about the referred, it seems as shifted aside. Because we must follow up with your own case. It came to you. If it's referred to the Department of Education or whoever the employer is, you must follow up, because it becomes still your own responsibility to make sure the worker, the labor, well looked after and is protected. So that's the thing. And so 18 is too much. And again, Jefferson, when you look at the people who are getting too much complaints according to what we're talking about now, the 54, the large amount is against the compensation part. That is 15. And only 5 of them are five of them are not resolved. Only 10 are resolved. That is a reflection of what we always talk about, that the compensation fund is problematic. The audit results all the years are talking. This is a reflection of once all the years we have complained about you, most likely this will come. So that it is just a remark that I wanted to make about this number. And I heard the DG say some of the things that had to be dealt with some in the offices or wherever, not necessarily come here. You know, some processes sometimes are very frustrating for our people out there. Very, very frustrating. Hence, they end up coming here. It's not easy and cheap to bring matters to the parliament, whereas there are CCMA offices, there are all offices of labor are out there. It's not like these people, they just love to come to parliament and complain. I will give you an example. There is a frustration even within the Department of Labor itself, and not only by junior employees, within the senior employees. So they end up coming to us because even the department itself can't solve its own problems on the senior level. So an example is a case between Mr. Zwakala and the department, where the department has lost the case. And there are many Mr. Zwakalas that are remaining, that the problem is not resolved. We're talking about the directors and deputy directors. So if the person of the director level can be frustrated like that, what about the junior employees? What about the general workers? So I'm just saying to you, these people, they don't just choose to come to parliament. There are some frustrations that is causing them to do that. And then to the compensation fund, I just want to ask a question. Maybe it's not part of this, but it is related to this. If a person is injured, right? And then this person was working for 3 months contract. And then later on, he's injured, he's not at yield. And then the 3 months finished. And then he got released. This person is still sick. Then within 2 months, they bring them back again, because again for another contract. The person can come back, can't even finish 3 days, because he's still sick due to the previous contract injury. And then what do you do in that situation? So that we can be able to guide our people out there and then avoid bringing issues that maybe we can solve easily to the parliament. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Afterthought, proceed.
It's just a follow-up on the question raised by the Honourable Teko. As I can recall, way before our constituency period, we've requested the department to provide the portfolio committee with a program of their outreach program, so that during the constituency period where members find outreach programs to be nearby their constituencies, they could attend. I'm not sure if it was a miscommunication between the secretary and the members, or didn't the department submit the details to the secretary's office? If they can just give a clarification there, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you very much, honorable members. I'm sure you'll get some responses to the questions that you have raised. The DG, just from my side, is the issue relating to workshops where workers are informed of services available and processes of dealing with all other issues, and then how do we get that done? Because surely as long as workers are not informed, they will knock at each and every door that they will quickly come across, and the likelihood is that they may knock at wrong doors. Then the other issue is when you get the complaint, where you get a complaint that you cannot do anything about it, what do we do with that complaint? Do we just simply say, no, this is not relevant, this is out of, it's not in line with the law? Or does it kickstart a possibility of thinking about a policy amendment? These people are frustrated by labor issues which the law does not cater for at that particular time. How do we anticipate resolving the issues if the matter is related to labor, but you resolve it in terms of the current labor laws, and then the client is dissatisfied, it's not happy? That means there is something that needs to be attended to. It's either the client is not clear about what the provisions of the law, or our law has got a gap. And then now is there is a matter that you speak about in the office of the ANC, where the client or the complainant accepted an offer, and then you say that now that matter is closed. This particular matter, then, it actually raises the last Concord ruling about the Nasana matter. I'm sure if you follow that ruling, Nasana actually accepted an offer. He accepted it, but the court did not really find it wrong for him. It brought the issue that he may have been put in a situation where he did not have a choice. That doesn't mean that he agreed to leave the office. It's because he found himself in a position where he's either a chief or he goes home with nothing. And then now, I'm just saying that, can we just read that court ruling into this matter and see whether we are still right? If you are ready, you may proceed to respond to the question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start with your question, Chairperson, and work my way into the first question. The department runs advocacy sessions as part of its program throughout the year. And we have, sometimes we respond to requests from general public, workers, employers, to run workshops, and we run them. And in some instances, we run the CCMA so that we can explain
issues relating to how do you deal with unfair labor practice, and what is the process that CCMA follows when they adjudicate cases. So we run those workshops. The second thing that we do, the minister has an outreach program, and the deputy minister. And we take these outreach programs very, very seriously. Every entity of the department is part of those outreach programs where we interact with the communities, we explain to them what our laws are and what they take and how can they get their matters resolved. The Director General of the Department of Labor is also running an outreach program called Taking Services to the People, where we spend 3 good days in one specific area. And recently we were in Mpumalanga, Malelane area, where we interact with employers, organized labor, community people, municipalities, and just everybody. And we have an open day where people can come in and complain, and an inspector will go there immediately and do an inspection. And if you have an outstanding UIF claim, you get your claim processed. There and there, we invite banks, we invite all service providers that are linked to the work that we do. So that if you don't have a bank account, the bank can assist you in a bank account so that your UIF claim can be processed immediately. So these sessions have been very successful. This week, tomorrow, we're going to Rustenburg for the same taking services for the people. The minister will be in KZN, also talking to people about the services of the department. So we do that consistently as part of our program, also as a request. So, Chair, if there's anybody who would like to request the Department of Labor to run workshops, for them, we do so. You just simply write to the department and we respond. And as the Honorable Bagrame would attest that we have also been with him when he was on radio around issues relating CCMA, compensation funds, and other matters. So how do we deal with complaints that are outside of the law or are as a result of the policy provisions? This is a point I raised earlier on, that in some instances people will come to us, for instance, if one thing that comes to mind is the inclusion of or the exclusion of the people who have resigned. The exclusion of them on the UIF benefits, obtaining UIF benefits. People contribute, firstly, people contribute, and when they contribute, they expect that when they lose employment, they will get benefits. However, in a country like ours where you have a huge unemployment, you cannot also promote a situation where people decide that they will resign for whatever reasons. And once they resign, they can then therefore easily access their UIF benefits. And this was a measure that was put in place to deal with the situation where the UIF was in a dire financial situation. So we're out of that situation now. And that's why we are saying 2 years after the implementation of the new amended UIF Act, we will then consider looking at people who have resigned. But of course, you have to advance credible reasons why you have resigned. For instance, if you have to resign because your spouse is somewhere and you have to be with your spouse, those are reasons that we need to look at. So we say in instances like that, we will then go to NEDLAC and say this must be done, and we'll then bring it to the committee to look at. But also the committee may, if it deems necessary, to instruct us to effect an amendment to a law, because through the engagement of the committee with the members of the public, the committee has realized that this part of the law is not assisting in terms of dealing with resolving issues. And when that happens, we can then effect like changes. We call it the lacuna in law. The settlement offer and reading that into a number of these cases, I agree, Chair, we may have to do that. And the in cases where we can prove that an employer may have exerted an undue pressure on the employee to take the settlement, which is a tone that I read from the judgment, that given the fact that Mr. Advocate Masana was dealing with the president, and the president, having been the president of the country, there was some undue pressure exerted on him to take the settlement, or being subjected to a commission that will look at his fitness to hold office. So we can read that judgment into that, but there are a number of there's a means test that we have to apply, and legal people will advise us in terms of how we can do that. But if the matter has been resolved by the CCMA and there's a settlement, we can't touch that. If there's a matter has been to court and there's an out-of-court settlement which has been endorsed by the court, we can't touch that. I think that's the point we've been trying to make. The next question is raised by Honorable Muteka. And Chair, I too want to say this with the greatest of respect to Honorable Muteka, that the question that he raised with regards to the Department of Labor which has difficulty in dealing with its own problems, it's a matter that maybe Honorable Muteka felt that he must sneak it in, because he has raised the matter with me and I asked him to follow the right process and ask the minister this question so that he can get a response from the department in a right manner. And seeing that he has raised it here, I just want to deal with a number of these issues that he's raised which are not true. We don't have a problem with, and maybe just to put the committee, just to give a detail in terms of what is he talking about. The Department of Public Service and Administration issued a circular. If I'm correct, it was in 2015. The circular was saying, if you are not in the line function what is called core function. You are at level, your post has been pitched at level 9. And you're currently sitting at level 10 because you were upgraded to level 10, whether you're on a personal scale or not. When the post becomes vacant, it must revert to level 9. And when it is advertised, it must be advertised at level 9 because you are not in the core function. Same with people who are at level 12, 11 and 12. Now, those are assistant directors and deputy directors. Those are not senior managers. SMS bands, as we call them in the public sector. So what has then happened is that some officials were not happy, not only the Department of Labor, by the way, the government in general, all government departments. So they took Department of Transport employees, took Department of Transport to court, Department of Justice, Water, and Mr. Zwagala from the Department of Labor. And they won their cases. We then went to DPSA. We said to them, how do we deal with these cases? The DPSA said, your responsibility as a Department of Labor and any other department is to deal with these matters as and when they come. So we had to upgrade Zwagala, moved him from level 11 to 12. So the advice from the DPSA is that individual employees must take up their cases with either with courts or with the public service bargaining council. If they win their cases, we must implement. If they lose their cases, we must implement. And just for information's sake, Chairperson, I have written to the Department of Public Service and Administration Director General informing him that this doesn't sit well with us as the Department of Labor. And as a result of that, I requested that the two of us must engage and find a solution to this, because we are of the view that in the spirit of the principle of equal pay for work of equal value, the circular from DPSA is creating a problem, not only for the Department of Labor, but for all the government departments. So this is one case that the employees of the department and management are not in conflict with. We're not disagreeing on this matter. But we're disagreeing as to when are we going to implement it. Because what I don't want, Chairperson, is implementing something and then I have to, when I'm instructed by DPSA to ask the colleagues to pay back the money, I will have to do that. And I wouldn't want to take money from any of our employees. And that is why I'm cautiously working with the Department of Public Service and Administration to find a solution to this. And for that matter, I have told the colleagues that are affected by this, that this is the approach that we're taking. In the department, we have a departmental bargaining council, which is comprised of management representatives and union, where this matter is discussed. And on Friday, this coming Friday, by the way, this matter is also going to be discussed. It's in the agenda, where management will be giving feedback as to where we are with the implementation. So it's not departmental management that is a problem. We have a problem with the circular by the CPSA. So to link it with the issues that are happening at compensation, I don't know how that happens, Chairperson. But I think if you have 15 cases and you resolve 10, and you have not resolved 5, not because of your own doing, but because there are dependencies, I don't think that should in any way be a reflection on the compensation fund that is not doing its work. And as we have presented to the committee, that there are no new cases referred to the compensation fund, claims that have not been adjudicated timeously and that have not been dealt with. It may be that there are cases that are sitting in our legal system that we're trying to resolve. Mm. But current cases are dealt with as and when they come. I agree that some processes are very frustrating. However, these laws have been approved by Parliament, have been signed off by this committee. And we have to abide by these laws, and we have to do things according to the laws that we administer as a department. And we take time to talk to clients. When they are not happy, we sit down with them, we explain to them why we have arrived at this decision, and what recourse do they have, if any, in case they are not happy. And we write to them, we send a letter, write to them and say, your complaint has been dealt this way, and this is a decision, and this is how we have arrived at the decision. Just to go back to the, or just to indicate to Chairperson that of the cases that were referred to other institutions, we have followed up, and we will continue to follow up just to make sure that there's finality on this matter, because we take responsibility that when the committee interacted with these complainants, they brought these things to our attention as a department. So it's our responsibility as a department to make sure that these matters are resolved. And that's why, even though they don't fall in our mandate as a department, we're taking the responsibility to follow up on that. The issue relating to I think the issue raised by both Honorable America and Honorable Bakrim, firstly, I would like to indicate that, yes, there may be more people out there with the same number of complaints that we deal and process on a daily basis, because we have labor centers, people come to labor centers and complain. These ones are specific because they were brought to the attention of the committee, and they were therefore referred to us by the committee secretariat, and we had to deal with them. There's a question on how long does it take to resolve an issue. We have a standard operating procedures in the department that indicate how long does it take to resolve a complaint. Because if there's a complaint, for instance, the employee says, I have not been paid my overtime money, we then go to the employer, and if the employer does not comply, we then issue a compliance order. So that compliance order has a life of its own. And we have to take that into account when we look at the number of days we take to resolve a complaint. For instance, if it's a complaint like that, the compliance order is 21 days, and if the employer is not complied, the matter must then be taken to the next step, it must go to court. So what we have done is we've given ourselves a 90 days to deal with the matter, taking into account the time that it will take to be at the labor court, or if it's referred to the CCMA, the time that it will take for the CCMA to resolve the matter. So those are the timelines that we've given ourselves to deal with the matter. I agree with Honorable America that the referral of the matter dealing with private teachers, it's also the responsibility of the governing body to deal with. But we thought that people that can reach the governing body quicker is the Department of Education. So that's why we have referred to them. Honorable Graham is also Chairperson correct. It's very difficult to manage people's expectations versus reality. Because in some instances people expect that they will get millions. And maybe it's because they don't understand the processes and what it takes to arrive at a decision that you are 30% disabled, and this is how you're going to be paid. And maybe we need to do more to to make people aware, advocacy and all that. But we also need to say that whoever gets into contact with people has a responsibility to explain these things. The constituency offices, the advice centers that we're working with, that we fund to also provide advice to local people. We also find advice offices. So they have that responsibility, and we make sure that they do that. We work with constituency offices. Constituency office has a program or has an issue that wants us to address, and we're invited to come and talk to a constituency or any member of the portfolio committee. We take it as part of our advocacy session. So we'll come and we'll talk to your constituency. So it's up to the members to invite us, and we will make ourselves available. When the same complaint is referred to us, we go back, trace it, and say this matter has been dealt with. It's got a reference. So each and every case that we register as a reference, so we're able to go back and look at that reference. So we don't treat it as a new case. Like I've already indicated, how we engage with the dissatisfied clients. Unfortunately, not every decision that we make will satisfy some of our clients. Well, with the open cases that the compensation fund is sitting with, the commissioner will come in here. We try and make sure that the employers and the medical service providers, they furnish the compensation fund with information as speedily as possible, so as to resolve the issues. Unfortunately, you have a situation where some of the service providers, they don't do that, and some of the employers, they don't do that, and we follow them. As I indicated, we are in a position to assist with outreach program in constituencies. We'll ask the advocate to forward to the committee our program, outreach program, as I indicated, taking services to the people. We'll forward that to the committee members. The issue relating to credibility of the CCMA, we've had this allegations leveled against the CCMA, and we've asked the director of the CCMA to follow up this allegation. And unfortunately, almost all of them, we have not had a situation where somebody comes forward and says, my case was not properly handled by the CCMA, and we feel that the CCMA commissioner was right. And unless you have cases like that, where people come forward and so that we can do a proper investigation. And who is the commissioner? They may remain anonymous, but at least they must tell us the name of the commissioner and the case that was heard, so that we can follow it up. And this is something that worries us as a department, because it really, has a potential to taint the good image of the CCMA, and we think the CCMA is doing a good job under immense pressure. But I think they are holding their own, they are doing a fantastic job. So what we can do to help the constituencies and the community to have a much better understanding of the work of the CCMA is to continue with the programs that we have, go and talk to the communities, explain what the CCMA and is doing whenever we have the outreach program, so that people have a much more better understanding of the work that the CCMA is doing and how commissioners look at cases. I think if we were to continue with that, it may have a positive result. And again, we work with constituent offices. With regards to cases that the Honourable Member has in Free State, for instance, that are outstanding, we would appreciate if you were to forward those cases to us so that we can, on your behalf, check where the progress is with regards to those cases. When it comes to the cases that we've referred to other government departments, yes, Jefferson, if it's a matter that has a labor relations flavor, we provide support. But if it's a matter that is a basic matter that the department, that department should deal with and it has absolutely nothing to do with labor, we left the department to deal with the matter. And yes, I'm in constant contact with a number of the teachers to ask them how far are the issues. We have not involved the ministers yet because we feel that it's something that is still within the realm of the administrators to resolve. With regards to that official invite, yes, the minister is aware because before we come to the portfolio committee, we also send these presentations to the minister so that the minister is aware of what we will be talking about in the committee. The COIDA amendments, complaint number 54, Chairperson, the NEDLAC process actually took longer than anticipated. And there were also discussions that we needed to have with the National Treasurer as well. And we also had to take the document to the economic cluster of DGs so that we can have a go ahead, which we did. We're now in a process where I suppose in the next cabinet meeting, a CAP memo will be served there, and the cabinet should be able to deal with the matter. We're at that stage now, where we're ready to bring, we're ready to ask the cabinet to allow us to take the document out for public comments, and eventually to then come back to the portfolio. I don't know if I've missed any questions, Honourable Chairperson. I think those are questions.
Yeah, you've missed many of them. And just wait, you'll be reminded by the members those that you have missed.
Okay.
Yes. And then I'm sure you are aware that I'm fairly new here. The issue of exclusion on the UIF, is it a legislative matter or a regulation matter? And, because I'm not aware. I know that people, when you resign, then you forfeit and all whatever. And then now it's I hear as if there is a relaxation, but is there a relaxation that has been done through legislation, or is it contained in regulations only, where you have got powers of making changes? I think the matter of compensation, I just want us to put ourselves in the boots of the people to be compensated for whatever, whether it's an injury or whatever. And if the injury takes long and the final report, medical report, doesn't come because the person is still being treated, is not working, and then the law then says this person must be compensated, but then we don't compensate. We are still waiting for a medical report, which is taking longer because the person is still being treated. What is the situation? What's the purpose of compensation? When the compensation doesn't arrive, and the person is not waiting, is injured, and then it's taking 6 months, 12 months, still being treated, or latent injuries still put up, and then must go to the hospital, and then is that compensation not losing its intention? What is the story there? I think it's just the one thing that I just wanted to raise, and also of course is just acknowledgement that the Department of Labor is a service department, not a technical department. It's a service department. Then our consciousness then is different from public works. It's different from roads and transport. It's a service department. Honorable members, any other questions that you would like to make follow-ups? Honorable Bahrain, and then Mubeka, in that order. Proceed.
Thank you, DG. Thank you for the responses. In essence, I know that the CCMA, for instance, has a hotline for complaints. And in fact, very few people actually use that hotline for complaints. From what I understand from the commissioner, is that people aren't making so much regular use of it. And I think because, and it goes back to, and maybe you can comment on this, it goes back to the fact that when someone loses, the first thing you think is that the commissioner was biased and was paid by the employer, or the other way around. I know because I get complaints from employers to say, I can't believe it, they obviously are in cahoots with the trade union or something like that. And then when you start researching it a little bit and start pushing them and saying, well, in what way are they in cahoots with the trade union, you find that the real attitude is they lost. So the employer gets really upset, and because they lost, they then start thinking for some other excuse that the trade union has bribed them or something of that nature. The reality is that what I think has been set up at the CCMA, and you say you're satisfied with the work that they're doing and you're happy with some of the results, I'm actually go one step further. I think they're an absolute example to every single other government department, not only in South Africa but anywhere in the world, that we should be following what they've done in other departments. It would be wonderful if at the UIF, for instance, I could walk in and I could go to a help desk, and I know you're trying to roll them out. I think you've rolled them out in two centres. But I think it's really worth the money if you can employ someone who has access to a central computer and can tell people where to go. I recently had to go and get my license, my driver's license from you, and it was wonderful to walk in and find a man at the door to say, because I was completely confused. All I saw was lots of counters and queues and all sorts of things. And he could tell me, you've got to first go to queue number 2, and then you've got to go to queue number 11 or whatever, and then he wrote it down for me, what you've got to do and what you need. And I think employing that one man, who could speak, not only English, but Xhosa, Zulu and whatever, that he had the ability to be able to engage with everyone. He made my life a million times easier, and I think everyone else that was following me. And I think we've cut out a lot of these complaints, and I think it's worth the while to actually create employment for an individual or a desk so that when people come in, they can get it sorted out. Because I think the CCMA has done that. Well, in Cape Town anyway, they're fantastic that way. You can go in there and find out exactly where your case is, what's wrong with it, why, what went wrong, and what you're supposed to be doing. So I do praise them for that. Thank you.
In that order.
Thank you, Jefferson. I think DG is right. I did call him, and then again, I did write letters to the minister, and that's so this the that the issue of the department was not case number 56. It is going to be case number one in the next, because it's still coming. So it was just an example. It was just an example of the frustrations. I was not saying we can talk about it, but it's good enough because we explained to everyone what's happening. And the one thing that is, I think he hasn't touched on, maybe the commissioner would be, it was that about that limited duration contracts, employees getting maybe injured and all that. So I think that's the only thing. The rest is fine. Yeah.
Okay. I think that maybe it rounds up some of your follow-up questions. I'm not sure if Honorable Teko and Dobo, because we are just out when we are giving some second opportunity of follow-up questions. Do you have any?
No, it's
just only fine. It's fine, and Honorable Teko? None.
None, sir. The department has done their work. I'm happy with the progress and the responses that we've got from the DG and the team. So let's hope for
Libambanjaro. All right. I think DG is, you send inspectors there by the horse raising, whatever. They went there and tried and do what it is expected from them to do. But then there is an unintended consequence that close to about 85 grooms have been fired or retrenched. And please get your machinery ready there to go and deal with that particular matter and find out whether it's a retrenchment because of your inspectors having visited them and dealt with them, or it is retrenchment after we have engaged them as an oversight, and then if that amounts to some sort of unfair labor dismissal, then can we deal with that? But during our oversight, I think we tried unofficially to indicate that the horse trainers are employers, but these horse trainers then are actually dealing or giving a service to Pumelela. Therefore, in our understanding is that Pumelela cannot claim not to be the employer of the groomers. There is a possibility that there may be joint employers of those people. And hence, this Pumelela cannot avoid taking responsibility. But you have got specialists in the department, I think, and the lawyers that are schooled properly to deal with those matters and then intervene. And then I think as well, honorable members, when we came out on that oversight, we indicated to our staff that we must pursue establishing whether there is no association of the horse trainer. And then they must, if there is one, then they must establish its establishment, its rules, how it operates. And then when they have done with that, then we want to invite them to come here, the horse trainer. And then, because we understand that they've got a service level agreement on their lease agreements with Pumelela. And then we want to come and engage them because it looks like they are the trouble when it comes to the groomers. You may proceed with response.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll ask the UIF Commission to respond. Thank you, Chair and Honorable Members, and also the DG. I think maybe just to start with the exclusion or relaxation, as mentioned by the Chairperson. In terms of exclusion, the Act stipulates, and therefore it's a legislative matter, it's legislated as such. But just to the point that the DG mentioned earlier, we are reviewing some of the exclusions, including interns and civil servants that are now covered in the new Amendment Act. And I think moving forward, what we're also doing to close that gap as well is the private members bill that is also underway. I think it's through the parliamentary process. I think DG did touch earlier on that we are going to allow a 2-year cooling period to allow the Act to be implemented and then do an actual evaluation just to test how far is the expenditure stretched of the IF and how much more can we cover. The one area of resignation, I think the DG touched around the CCMA and also the education that we need to do to the public. There are some of the resignations that could potentially be a constructive dismissal, because in some instances you find that the relationship has gone beyond repair, but because people don't know what room they have and what they can explore with the CCMA, they resign instead of going to the CCMA and looking at other alternative ways to deal with the matter. And then maybe just to touch on the illness benefit, I think you touched on it, but we will add on later. UIF does cover an illness benefit where you find the person has been sick for an extended period of time. And during that time, while in the compensation fund, they're still reviewing and going to a doctor, the person is sitting at home, they can still claim illness benefit from UIF. There's that room also. And I think it's a continuation to extend to where once he's going through the medical process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. In addition to what Mr. Maruki has said, the claims process is such that when an employee gets injured in the workplace, the employee doesn't necessarily get bothered by the employer. The law requires for the employer to pay the salary to the employee while the claim is being assessed, because we can only know the level of disability of a client once we receive the final medical report after the person has gone through treatment. And what happens in such instances, if the employer had been paying the salary of the employee, we then reimburse the employer. Once we finalize the claim, we reimburse the employer for the salary that is paid to the employee. And when we've assessed the employee to be permanently disabled, then that employee automatically then gets a pension from the compensation fund. If there are pensions also from the employer will pay out those to the employee, but then he will be then on pension, on our pension books. But in an event where the employer, for example, doesn't pay the salary after the 3-month period that is required by law, then that person will then claim, because in the UIF it says he's been on sick leave for more than 14 days, I think he may then apply for illness benefits from the unemployment insurance.
Okay, Chair, the question, the issue you raised about the grooms, we'll investigate. The DDG Inspection Enforcement Services here, maybe she wants to say something with regards to that, but we will do the investigation and come back to the committee with the report. The issue of the help desk, I think we're trying to roll it out, and in instances where we have rolled it out, it's been working very well, and we will continue with that because it does make a huge difference. People don't have to stand in queues. And the UIF is in the process of piloting a Q two-marshal system, which will be rolling out to all our labor centers very soon. Chair, we agree with you entirely that the Department of Labor is a service department. And that's why we constantly review our processes and policies so that we don't have policies that are not assisting the clients. That we do on a regular basis. For instance, you remember that when we came to the committee to report at some point, we were saying UIF processes claims and takes 5 weeks to process claims. We've now reduced that drastically for the different claims that people can benefit from UIF. For instance, it takes 15 days to process your ordinary benefits. It takes 5 days to process maternity benefits. So those are the processes and policy changes that we've made to make life much more easier for our people. And in the past, it used to take a long time for the compensation fund to process claims. And we have reduced that time frame drastically. So we continuously look at how the processes and the policies affect our delivery of the services that we're supposed to be delivering to the people. So Chair, I think we have responded to almost all the questions that were raised. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, and for the responses, I'm sure everybody else is reasonably happy. But the fact of the matter is that I've heard Honorable Bahrain talking about the call center. Yes. But at the end of the day is that we know our South Africa. You have got those that are seriously educated and capacitated. You have got those that are educated but not capacitated. There are those that are not educated but capacitated. Then you have got those that are not educated and not even capacitated. Hence, when you speak on any communication arrangement, you must be aware of the exclusions. You have got workers on a farm, that many of them are kept hostage by the farm owners. They don't even have an access to a phone. The grooms that you're speaking about, that they are staying in a hostel, moving between hostel and the stables. That's all what they are doing. They've got no access to anything. And therefore is that relevant workshops to inform and capacitate workers on their rights, recourses, and all that is also very important. Like as we said in Free State to your DG, not DG, the director, is that must identify the big employers, those that are employing a lot of workers. You must arrange specific workshops and then to go and speak to those people what is there that's available from the department and what are the resources on each and every issue. When that is done properly, it will make people to approach correct doors for their complaint rather than just pushing all doors that they come across. And I think it's on that score is DG, and then thanks for your assistance together with your delegation. And we hope that the issues that have been raised that still need further processing and attention, then your department will do so. And also the entities that are supporting you as well then they should do what they are supposed to do. They should actually do what they are supposed to do. Deal with your internal problems where your internal problems are frustrating your service delivery. It is not nice that when you turn any corner then somebody's complaining about compensation plan or somebody's complaining about UIF and the complaints relate to internal matters. No. It's not nice. You should be having the capacity to actually sell skills yourselves so that you are able to deliver services efficiently. Complaints of people definitely is that if people don't know the issues, how they should deal with matters, and only when they have been paid, then they are told how you could have processed it. The owner accepts at that time. But if they get the things right in the beginning, and then they know the recourses, then it will reduce the strain and stress to the department. Thank you very much, and if you require a DG, you are released to do some other matters. Honorable members, then we'll be moving to the our internal matters of unit. I'm told that there are refreshments outside. I don't know how different
they're cold.
Can we have 3 minutes of seeing what is that refreshment outside different from the inside one? And come back, let's deal with the two committees. Okay. Can we access a set of minutes of the 13th of June? Please, let's use the copies that you find on the desk.
Okay.
Not the ones that were sent earlier in your computer.
Okay. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's normal.
I never got invited, you remember?
No, it is normal for you not to be there. We are getting used to it. But what is nice is that when we don't have you, then we see you on the TV screen.
Yeah.
And have you in kind. Okay, minutes of the 13th of June.
Okay.
And then it has been on this very same horse raising and compensation fund as well as the third quarter. The first page. The first page of it, you'll have that meeting after.
Yeah.
Let's have my meeting first. The first page, are you happy? Second page.
Chair. No, it's fine, but there's this second page. Miss Van Skansberg is Miss S. Van Skansberg's room. Second paragraph. One, opening remarks.
Yes,
on the motion
of
Ms. S. Van Skansberg or Sharon.
Oh, you want the initial?
I don't know, but if it's Van Skansberg, then it doesn't talk to the exact person. I don't know if I'm wrong, unless we'll assume it's Sharon.
Okay. Remember that you are moving from the front page.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the second page must speak to the first page.
Come again?
The first page. The second page must speak to the first page.
Okay. So then now it's American, then we must bring in the initial.
Chair, I'm proposing that to say it should, if you have registered the person, you can't change the person on the second page. Then you're not talking to the same person.
Okay, that's administrative. And then I think the secretary will see.
Yeah.
And also, of course, is that they've got what you call that? The committee section. And then make sure that the manner in which you're dealing with these things, it is the protocol of the committee section.
Or you give it to my father or me.
They have got some sort of protocols of writing minutes and all sorts of things. Then he will advise us in the next meeting how is the protocol is written on that. Page 3. None. Somebody told me that when people are quiet, then silence means two things.
Confusion
or consent.
Yeah,
okay. page 4. Page 4 is the last page. If there is none, then I'll then be seeing a mover. Honorable Chago?
Before Honorable Teko moves, Chair, I just want to reiterate again that we've agreed in the portfolio committee that we'll attach the attendance register, copy of the attendance register, to relay confusion on attendance or otherwise anything else. So we're just going to request the committee secretary to keep that in mind. Thank you.
All right. The request is taken, administrative, and then Portia, you are the committee assistant. Assist the secretary. Not now. You are being reminded of the request, which means that in the next meeting, when we come, make sure that the minutes with the secretary then remind each other and then deal with that particular request. And then Honorable Chago?
Thanks, Chago, for the adoption of the
minutes. Who agrees with Honorable Chago? Honorable America?
A second.
Seconded, thank you. The minutes are agreed to. And then minutes of the 14th of June 2018, where we're dealing with labor activation program. I just hope that the dates are right. The first page. the second page. Third page, in the absence of any comment, anybody who moves for the adoption of the minutes, Honorable Njoba?
I move to the adoption of the minutes.
Okay, and I can see it's Honorable Bahrain is seconding the move. I take for granted that there is nobody who has got problems with us adopting the minutes. Honorable members, that brings us to the end of this particular meeting.
Thank you, Chair.
I wish you a happy Eid.
The first time that I see members being happy about the meeting on the agenda.
Yeah, for me. Yeah, there is a certain type of plenary, but what is the difference between the plenary and the meeting? Do we have meeting or plenary or not? Is
the plenary are in the meeting. I received an SMS from Danda. Check with Danda. From Danda Madiba, yeah. Are we having a meeting or not? Because when I was speaking about plenary and Danda speaks, there's an invite for a meeting.
No, I do what you told me to do. What do you want?
No, all what you have done.
You were so radical before, now you want me to be something else.
Because
now you are tired.